Oh, I see them. Twitter and Instagram, the little messages linking Doug McClain, Nick Kyprios together. Hey, why don't you guys get together and do another radio show? Well, we're not quite there yet, but the old Hockey Central at Noon is back for at least one episode of The Chirp with Darren Millard. Kipper, Mac, and Millard in the same room, sort of, again.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
You guys are sensitive over there.
Got hot. Going once, going twice, sold, kind of hot.
What are you going to do? You!
Going to forego the fancy intro, the big tease, and the big show lineup and get right into it this week. This is a monumental, long-awaited, much-anticipated episode of The Chirp with Darren Millard, which is going to span over to a live episode of Real Kipper at Noon on livemovement.com as we bring everybody back together for the first time in a couple of years. Darren Millard on Hockey Central at Noon with Nick Kyprios and Doug McClain. You both have been on The Chirp, but separately. You two do Real Kipper at Noon by yourselves, excluding me. But today we're back together. And I'm actually going through this intro thinking this might be the longest I've ever been able to talk without the two of you interrupting. And I wonder, should I keep going or should I
just
pause?
Thank all your viewers and listeners and go make a sandwich because Mac's going to take over any second now. Well, again.
Doug, let's be flat out honest with everybody. We were supposed to record this 9 hours ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And why didn't we?
Well, Kippy was tied up with other things and that's and important things. And that's good. And I've already been pre-warned. I got two texts from you last night and a couple from Kippy to behave myself.
Yes.
Now, as I've moved into retirement, I've become very casual and very relaxed, and I don't hurt anybody anymore. As Aaron Portsline, the famous writer in Columbus, said recently to a friend of mine, he said, Doug McClain, the general manager, would hate Doug McClain, the broadcaster. So
that's true.
That's all I have to say.
And we hate both.
Yes. Hey, so you guys, I get tagged in a lot of the same tweets as the two of you. People want this to happen. They would like it to happen more often. We'll see after this dual episode between Real Kipper at Noon and The Chirp with Darren Millard. But what do you think was the draw and made Hockey Central at Noon with this combination so appealing to people, Kippy?
Well, I'll go first and take a crack at this. Nobody cared about the show other than the three of us. How about that?
That is a good point.
I think. When
you mean
we
from
started
a boss perspective,
it,
right? Like nobody
Darren,
paid attention.
You and I, and we're right there from the very get-go. And it kind of started off with a good idea from Nelson Millman, the program director at the Fan 590. And then it kind of ballooned into something much bigger. And the whole time we were there doing Hockey Central at Noon, we never got the story straight. Were we a TV show that happened to be on the radio, or were we a radio show that happened to be on TV? Because I never thought
it kind of changed every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
So our bosses kind of changed every day in the process, correct?
There was, yeah, depending on who was in the room at the time. Like radio wanted radio, TV wanted TV.
So in the meantime, if everybody's kind of passing the buck every once in a while, it was just up to us to create this show in the best manner that we could. And of course we had good people around us, sometimes a little bit more experienced than others, Ryan Fabro, Dave Cadeau, and then some of the younger kids kind of got their teeth, cut on our show, but we kind of got a chance to say and do whatever we wanted to within a certain degree. And I think that was kind of the key to it. My thoughts anyways, what about you guys?
Well, once I got rid of Billy Berg, I phased him out.
Billy was awesome, Mac. And so was Mike Brophy.
I know, they were terrific. Anyway, what I loved about Hockey Central at Noon is you would go on Hockey Central at Noon for an hour a day with Darren and you. And then I would go to the Ritz, or I'd go somewhere to have a beer after or whatever. I'd do 5 hours of games at night. I'd do Calgary's game and Vancouver's game and Edmonton game, and I'd be there till 1:30 in the morning.
That's right.
Everybody I ran into in Canada would only say, "Hey, I saw you in Hockey Central at Noon." Nobody mentioned they saw me on any games. It was always Hockey Central Noon. I'd go to PEI in the summer and it was, "Hey, I love Hockey Central at Noon. Love you guys." And nobody ever mentioned the damn games at night that I used to spend half my time doing, three quarters of my time doing, other than they'd say, "Oh, I like Carolyn Cameron." So anyway, you know what? It was a fun show to do. And it was real hockey talk. That's what I loved about the show. It was real hockey talk. And it was hockey talk that I didn't think you got from many other shows.
You were famous for just one more, Doug.
What's
up? You always wanted one more question, one more, and then I would shake you off, and then you get mad.
And then also, he also wanted one more at the Ritz as well. And he was terrific at night. It's a good thing the majority of the people and the fans watched us on Hockey Central at Noon, because watching you under the influence of alcohol at night, Darren, wasn't very, very appealing, I guess.
My toughest job at night was waking Berkey up from when he had passed, fall asleep, to get him to go on the set so we could talk about the games. Berkey, come on, we got to go on. Anyway.
Are you surprised Berkey's back, you guys? I haven't chatted with you.
No, yes. Not really. You know, you apply for enough jobs and eventually you get one, you know? No, I was surprised. I sent him a note. I sent him a note and I said, if this rumor is true, when I heard it, that it came out in the afternoon that he was going to Pittsburgh, I sent him a text. I said, if this is true, congratulations. Because after I left Sportsnet, he used to send every 2 weeks, he must have it on a memo to send every 2 weeks, I'd get a text, "How are you doing?" And I'd send back, "I'm perfect. I'm having a ball." And I think he was always waiting for me to say it. It's terrible. It's a disaster. So I'm happy for him. I got a text from him the other day, actually. "How are you doing?" I said, "It's perfect. The kids are here. We're having a great time." And I said, "Hey, it's great to have Sid Crosby. He's quite a leader." He said, "Oh, he's humble." Anyway, so I think he's having fun. And what's his nickname in Pittsburgh, Kippy?
The ambassador.
Yeah, he's shaking hands and kissing babies. And anyway, I'm happy for him.
He's smart enough. Mallard, I'll tell you, he's smart enough to send Mac a text every 2 weeks to remind him that I'm watching you and you better not rip me. And then Mac backs off.
It hasn't worked.
It doesn't work.
just to go back to your thought about surprised that they went out and got Brian Burke. And then, you know, we see Daryl Sutter come back after all these years. And Brian made it abundantly clear that when he was coming to Sportsnet, that he was done. And he told me on many occasions that I'm in this full time. This is what I want to do. I'm done with it. And that's the biggest reason that I'm surprised that he wanted another crack at it. And, you know, good on Pittsburgh for calling on him. And, hey, listen, you got another opportunity to put your name on a Stanley Cup. Who wouldn't take it?
But you know what? The smartest thing Berkey said in the couple of years we worked together is that his ex-wife, Jennifer, told him, "You know, Brian, you're okay on TV, but when you're with Doug McLean, you're really good."
I was worried that maybe the bosses, our old bosses, who will be listening to this and watching this, guarantee that, and Real Kipper at Noon with the three of us on, just waiting to hear names. But I don't think they'll get any from Mac. I think, Mac, you're too busy giving Mac.
Oh, no. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed with the patting on the back, right, Darren?
First of all, I didn't know most of their names, if the truth was known. So it's hard to rip them when I really didn't know their names that well, you know. But anyway, I used to love when they come in and say, "Okay, boys, we need you to calm down. And we want you to talk Leafs the first 20 minutes of the show." you know? And then everybody in Canada would rip us because we had to, we talked about the Leafs too much. And I'm thinking, like, are you kidding me? But anyway, look, they were good guys.
To that point, now Kippy's got Steve Dangle on when you're not on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He loves Dangle. He wouldn't let Dangle anywhere near him when we're on the air in sports. Now he's his favorite guest.
Dangle can bring it, Mallard. He has got all those watchers and listeners, and I need energy when I don't have Doug McLean chirping on Real Kipper at noon, man. I go to the ace.
So are you guys having, are you guys having fun? Are you guys enjoying it?
Yeah, blast.
Because I got to put him to work a little bit. I actually force him to watch the games.
Hey, listen, Darren. I love doing the show. It's the goddamn games I hate watching. That's the problem.
Okay, can I say something? You're not on the Real Kipper at Noon show. This is the Chirp, okay? So watch the language. Be respectful.
Yeah.
We got a new audience here.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
you got it?
And I answer to Gary B. And Bill Daly. So
we all do. We all do.
Yeah. Nothing's changed there.
No, we all do.
Let's not forget Law and Order there. Lawless and Order.
You
got to answer to Gary Lawless.
George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon. I have a lot of bosses right now. I changed jobs and I gained a lot of bosses.
It's hard to believe you have more bosses than even Sportsnet.
I know. But I have a lot of jobs too now. I expanded that portfolio, but I never have to really leave my house anymore. Who's the best team, Kippy? Who's the best team in the National Hockey League right now?
I think the team that currently has the Stanley Cup and could have it again in another year until someone steps up and takes it away from the Tampa Bay Lightning. I kind of like the direction that they're going. We talked right out of the bubble last season on who are they going to lose? They can't afford this guy. They can't keep this guy, that guy. And yet, you know, Kucherov goes down, frees up some salary. And then we see a lot of the returning guys. You know, Anthony Cirelli was one of the top guys that you thought, oh, could we see an offer sheet on this guy? And I still think that teams missed an opportunity to do that and push it up towards $6.5 million. I think the assets of a first, second, and third would have been worth it for a guy like that, but they kept the band together. And I can appreciate the push now from a Vegas, the team that you cover. Colorado, again, looks like it's gone to another level with Rantanen now, one of the top scorers in the league. But until you take that cup away from Tampa Bay, Mac, what do you think?
Look, I love Tampa. There's no denying that. I mean, Vasiliev is so good for me, and Hedman Vasilevsky. But
he still screws up names, doesn't he, Darren?
I look at Vegas and I'm thinking, okay, their top six is an amazingly dynamic top six forward group. You know, obviously Petrangelo in the back end, and Theodore in the back end, and the goaltending has been terrific. I don't see the West enough because the time change is tough on me. So I can't appreciate the Vegas as much. And I know Lawless tells us how good they are. And of course I believe everything out of Lawless's mouth, everything. And I really like Vegas. Colorado, I think, are going to be scary. And I can't wait to see who comes out of the West between a good St. Louis team, a very good Colorado team, and a very good Vegas team. So it's going to be really challenging for the West to come through that group to get to Tampa Bay or Toronto, whoever happens to come out of the other end. But I got to tell you, watching Colorado this week a couple of times, they look spectacular. But Vegas have been good from first start to finish. They haven't had many – well, you know better than I do, Darren. They have not had many bad games or off nights, and they deserve credit for that.
Mallard, you understand when Max says he can't stay up for the late games, he represents about 85 of the writers and broadcasters in the East, right? Because that's just a given.
Yeah.
It is funny starting our games and knowing that that's the time when you'd be like, oh, we got a doubleheader. And I'm just ready to go to work. It's weird being on this side of it.
So no, what I always say to Jeff Rimmer when his team starts, the Blue Jackets, I said, oh, the Blue Jackets are on tonight. Oh, time for my novel. Going to bed to read my novel. So it's not just the West, trust me. But you know what? There's some good teams, and I'm kind of enjoying it. But I obviously we focus so much on the North, Scotia North, or whatever the hell it's called. Oh, sorry, Gary. Sorry, Gary. The Scotia North. I love that division. But I mean, I've sort of, you know what, there's been lots of good games, and I applaud the players because it's tough conditions. You applaud everybody involved in this because it is tough conditions. But I still look at Tampa. I don't know who's coming out of the North. I mean, Toronto, can they get their goaltending figured out? Montreal, still, I'm not quite sure there. But to me, the Tampa, Vegas, and Colorado, to me, one of those three teams should win the Cup this year.
Darren, do you miss when you ask Mac a question and he completely derails it in another avenue, and you're like, I forgot my question.
I like, you know what I do miss? I miss him interviewing people saying, giving a strong opinion, and then just saying, but, and then just not even asking a question.
Oh no. Can I give you the best example of the three of us together? The announcement that Winnipeg was coming back into the league. And then we get Gary Bettman. The three of us get an interview with Gary Bettman. And Doug goes from talking, this is like 30 seconds into our interview,
After Winnipeg's been announced to be back in the league.
And Mac looks straight into the camera and looks at Gary and says, enough about Winnipeg. How about what's going on with the Boston Bruins?
Because the Stanley Cup final was Vancouver and the Boston Bruins.
Mm-hmm. And he wonders why he's just on the Real Kipper at Noon show now.
You also asked Eric Lindros about his dog during his unveiling with the New York Rangers, though.
Well, we like to keep it fresh, Doug and I. That's the key to the show.
By the way, boys, just so we set the record straight, my contract at Sportsnet expired.
So did mine. And so did mine.
You guys, yours, I don't remember yours really expiring, if I'm not correct.
Mine expired too.
As Rob Corte, is that his name, Corte?
Yes.
Rob Corte said to me, Doug, we just, you know, I've tried everything. And I thought, oh, okay, so that's good. So thanks. I appreciate it. And yeah, good. See ya.
That's right. Good. Mine did not expire, but I happily took all my money.
I gave him a couple of shots on the way to the office, but that was fine. We don't have to bring that up.
Mac, what would you do if you were in charge of Buffalo right now?
Oh, well, that's a really challenging one. You know, the what would you do? Well, how long have we
I've
got?
Never seen you speechless.
I know, because it's I mean,
I'm shocked he hasn't said hire me.
I went to bed last night. They were winning 3-0, and I think, okay, good. Finally, they get a win. It's great. You know, a good unmarked command, and he looks really good. He'd been missing in action for a month or so, and then you wake up today and they lose 4-3. I mean, but you know what? Buffalo is a great hockey city.
It is
great fan base. They don't deserve this. And, you know, there's some, I was looking there. I think they got about 10 real players there, you know, about 10 real players. So they got to figure this out. They really do. And this has been 10 years. This has been 10 years of this.
And we know Kevin Adams isn't going anywhere. He is going to be the general manager for the next year or two. And the Pegulas happily will keep, you know, that title for him. But, you know, joking aside, you know, whether it is Doug or somebody else out there, this is a team that is screaming for some experience, i.e. at the president of hockey ops or, you know, VP of hockey ops, whatever you want to put on a business card. But Kevin Adams needs help. And you hear some names out there that he might interview for assistant general managers, and Carmanis' kid, Jason, is the one that we hear that will interview for that job. But I just don't think that's enough right now. And just to go back to Brian Burke in Pittsburgh and Daryl Sutter in Calgary, say what you will about what the outcome eventually is going to be. Nobody can debate that they're bringing, regardless of the outcome, some credibility and, you know, be able to kind of, you know, lend some support from experience. And that's what they need in Buffalo.
Here's a conversation I had this week. I said, guys, this is a job with what Kevin has on his plate right now. And I happen to like Kevin Adams. As a matter of fact, I traded Kevin Adams. So, you know, I feel bad about that, but I did get Ray Whitney for him. So, you know, it worked out okay. And it worked
out. Hold on. You said you liked Kevin Adams, but then you traded Kevin Adams.
Well, I was offered Ray Whitney for him. And yeah. Whitney, you know, so, but here's the real truth. What Kevin is faced with right now, with the Hall trades, the Stahl trades, the Eichel situation, Eichel? The Dahlin situation, the Skinner situation, he has got on his plate today what would be unbelievable pressure on the most experienced general manager in the league. He's got a goaltender that's an unrestricted free agent who's been pretty good for them. He's got Eichel. We're not sure what the situation is there. He's got a couple of big trades he has to make, and he's got to revamp his team. That is pressure on the most experienced general manager in the league to have those things on his plate. That's my perception of what's going on there. That is really challenging.
Would you trade Jack Eichel if you were Kevin Adams, Mac, or what would you do with him?
You know, Jack Eichel, when you have a franchise player, you have to be unbelievably careful to make those deals. You typically don't win those deals. And in today's marketplace, those are challenging deals to win. So you've got to do everything in your power, in my opinion, to keep Jack Eichel and to get this. If I was working for the Buffalo Sabres, Jack Eichel would be my best friend.
I think for Kevin Adams, and I don't know where he is in terms of identifying where maybe the pitfalls have been over the last few years when it's come to Jack Eichel and his relationship with the Buffalo Sabres. But before I would even entertain trading him, I would have to exhaust what has gone wrong up until this point and whether it's fixable and whether or not Jack still wants to be part of the solution or just end it as if he's part of the problem. So I would not trade him, certainly in the next week and a half, two weeks. That's just not happening. I'll take the time in the next month or two, the off season. And if he still feels a certain way, then at least I can go back to, and I include Seattle, 31 teams out there, and shop the best deal I could get.
Think about this. You've got whether you like Jack Eichel or not, you've got a franchise center iceman, and you should have a franchise defenseman in Dahlin.
Yes.
You've got to figure this out so that your franchise centerman becomes a superstar again, which he has been. He has been. And you've got a kid on the back end who should be a superstar. And if you have those two guys functioning and moving ahead, then you've got the makings of a very good hockey team. Very few teams have a franchise centerman and a franchise defenseman. And they do. So, you know what? You've got to be really careful how you work this situation.
That type of talent doesn't come around very often, and you have it in your organization. Just don't be so quick to get rid of it. And we look at Columbus right now and Pierre-Luc Dubois being a center iceman and a guy that can bring a lot of different facets to your game. And Winnipeg's seen that, whether it's scoring a big goal or crushing, Chris Tanev behind the net. That is playoff type of hockey that you win with. And Patrick Laine goes in there as a pure scorer who's not getting the puck right now. And you got to be careful when you're trading guys like a Pierre-Luc Dubois and what you think that you can get back for it. And right now, Patrick Laine looks like a one-dimensional player. And that's not good news for Columbus right now. And it wouldn't be necessarily good news for Buffalo if they made a knee-jerk reaction and sold them for, you know, lesser parts.
Think about this. How long does it take franchises to get a bona fide number one centerman? I'm serious, boys. Columbus were 20 years to get a bona fide number one centerman. I tried for 8-9 years. I couldn't get it done. The best I got was Brassard as a sixth overall pick and Sergei Fedorov and Andrew Castles. Those are my top three centermen. Just think about that. It is unbelievably hard to get that number one centerman. And I think about Columbus and I think, okay, just a minute. They could have had their Pierre-Luc Dubois, Carlson, who went to Vegas and became a star and is still a star in my opinion. They could have had Couturier if they wouldn't have traded the unbelievably dumb deal that Voracek in the eighth pick, which was Couturier, for Carter. And Wenberg was another first-round pick of theirs. They could have had those four centermen. Today, they don't have any of them. I'm just making my point going back to Buffalo. They're hard to find. Matthews, look what he's done for Toronto. Look what he has done. Seriously, is there a guy in the league tougher to defend than Matthews right now as a power forward in the league? With this set of tools he brings to the table, these guys are they're generational players. McDavid,
McKinnon, McDavid, Eichel, Matthews.
McKinnon. Yeah, they're generational guys. You can't just trade them and think, wow, look at the Joe Thornton trade. Look at all these big trades and what really ended up happening.
And there's not one hockey guy out there that doesn't think that Jack Eichel can be in that mix.
Yeah. So. Yes, my answer is I wouldn't
backwards.
Try it.
It's gone back. Jimmy Rutherford, are we in agreement that Jimmy Rutherford would be a great pick there, or do you guys have your own?
Yeah, go ahead, Mac.
No, Jimmy Rutherford with three Stanley Cups is a great pick anywhere. You know, when you've won three Stanley Cups, I mean, I think back to Ray Shero. When Ray Shero got that Pittsburgh job, I was in Columbus, and I thought, are you kidding me? Ray Shero gets a GM's job, his first GM's job, and he's got Malkin and Crosby and Fleury and Letang. And I'm sitting there thinking, what is going on here? Jimmy goes in there. He won it in Carolina, maybe a little bit of a fluke, but he won it. Then he goes in there with that group, and he did what had to be done to win a couple of more cups. Now, Berkey and Hexie are sitting there saying, oh, we got a problem here. We don't have a lot. We don't have a lot coming here, and we don't have a lot to move, and we don't have, so Jimmy Rutherford to me is still a good choice anywhere. He's, when you win three cups, that's all you have to say.
It just, at least the feel as of today, guys, is that they're not necessarily going to go in that direction. They may beef up a few spots here and there in the management division, but it doesn't sense that they want a high profile hockey guy like Jim Rutherford right now.
I'll give you guys a choice. Tim Peel or Carter Hart? What do you guys want to talk about?
Gosh, the Tim Peel is a conversation all on itself for another hour. Don't you think?
Yeah. I like Timmy Peel. I like him. I've known him for a long time. He's a St. John guy. We've had a few beers together. We've been at golf outings together. I happen to like him. I liked when he refereed. I used to have great chats with him. I used to scream at him once in a while because he used to make some dumb calls, but they all do. But listen, I didn't like it. I didn't like what happened to him, but you know what? I'm sorry. You can't say that. You cannot get caught saying that. In my opinion, and I listen to all these other media people, well, it's part of the game, makeup calls. I don't care. He said it. And when you say it, I can only imagine if I was the GM of the team and he said that, well, I got to get a penalty. I had to get a call. I wanted to get a call on that. Sorry. It was a big mistake. It was unfair, maybe. But when you say that, the league, in my opinion, had no choice.
There was some contextual elements to it where the mic cut out. And I think he was being half sarcastic to Philip Forsberg. But what you heard was what you heard.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. But you know what? And Darren, how many times did you tell me in my illustrious broadcasting career, hot mic, watch the mic. You were there when I shot my mouth off when I gave my opinion on Edmonton's defense.
Yes.
And it was a hot mic.
That you just forgot you were on the air and you said it.
But it was a hot mic.
He just doesn't know how to hear a countdown. That's his problem. When there's a producer saying
music.
5, 4, 3, and then you cuss Mac, it means you can't count.
Oh my God. Poor Scott Moore phoning me saying, Doug, we got a problem. I said, yeah, I guess I was in a limo going to the Toronto airport to fly to Toronto. He said, Doug, we got a bit of a problem. I said, oh yeah, I guess we do, Scott. Anyway.
You said that the Edmonton blue line was terrible with a couple of words thrown in there. But what was the response you got from the Oilers?
Well, I didn't get a response because I Scott Moore phoned me I said it was a limo to the airport. It was probably a cab. But anyway, Scott phoned and said, we got a problem. And he said, how well do you know the president of Edmonton? I said, well, I know him well. I can give him, I can't remember his name right now, but I said, I can give him a call. And he said, okay. And I said, look, I know Kevin Lowe. I'll phone Kevin and talk to Kevin about it. So Scott said, okay, well, let me talk to the president first. So then Scott phoned me back 15 minutes later. He said, I just got off the phone with the president.
LaForge, wasn't it?
What?
LaForge. Yeah.
And he said, he told him what I had said. And the president said, I agree 100% with Doug. I think he was right. So Scott phoned me back and said, Doug, I think we're okay. And I think we're okay on this one. So anyway,
that's right. You weren't wrong.
You know what? I could have been fired over it. I mean, if Edmonton put up a stink, if Edmonton would have put up a stink, I could have been fired over it, you know? So unfortunately, I feel for Kevin. And I, you know what? I feel really bad, or not Kevin, but
Timmy Peel.
Timmy, I feel bad for him. And then a good friend of ours that you know well, phoned me, said, good on Peel. He stole my girlfriend in high school. So if anything gets, you know. So anyway, I think you know who it is, but anyway.
I don't disagree with Mac that he got caught and there are repercussions because of it and consequences. I just don't like that a guy that's lasted over 21 years has to leave with his integrity questioned. And I don't think that was enough of a comment to question what he's done in the past or how he's tried to officiate to the best of his abilities. I just wish it was a softer cushion for him. I don't necessarily believe in the context of that comment that we should all think of him as a guy that's less than honorable.
And I don't. I want to make that straight. Yeah. I don't think.
I don't either.
I don't feel any less about Timmy. I thought he had a great career. I like him as a guy. But unfortunately, when you say it with what's going on in the game, with gambling starting to move into the scene here and trying to become a big revenue generator, for Timmy to go back on the ice, do you know how much what would have been said? And I'm sorry, I'm with the league on this. And I really like Timmy. I really do. And I feel terrible about it, but I'm with the league on this one.
I'm okay, Mac. I think he was not ever going to go back. And I don't think it was about him going back. Yeah. It was just about lessening the blow.
Yeah.
That's all.
But yeah, too bad.
But it brought up game management, and game management's always going to happen. I went through the games in the few days after, and it was always like 4-3, 2-1, 3-2 penalties. Mm-hmm. And we're okay with that, right? Like it's all.
But they didn't say it. They didn't say it. That's the only point. And when you say it, I mean, we all thought it. We all think it. We all chirped on the bench about it to the referees, you know. But, you know, like I'm watching the Boston game the other night. Boston's on the power play, and Krejci gets a blatant trip, and the referees didn't call it. Jack Edwards lost it, went ballistic, saying, okay, ref, you know, they didn't make the call because they were already down a man. It was a 1-0 game. They were losing 1-0 to Jersey in the third period. They would have went on a 5-on-3. Boston's fighting for their playoff lives. Game management. That's what it was. And, you know, it used to drive us crazy, but when it went against us. We liked it when it was for us. I didn't have a problem when it was for us. I had a problem when it was against us.
A lot of people, you know, even those discussions that we used to have for stage fighting, and it's easy to sit there and have your thoughts and ideas of two guys fighting and the reasons why they fought when you're 200 feet up in the skyboxes. But the one thing I try to say is there's other factors involved, and it could be, you know, long memories. It could be a cheap shot that nobody knew about. There are other factors. And another common factor, again, that wouldn't necessarily go to your average viewer watching is the fact that these officials have to deal with some players who love embellishing. And we know that the league has tried to answer that by introducing an embellishment penalty, which sometimes you think isn't called enough, but these guys have long memories and perhaps even notebooks on guys that are known to be divers. And I've been on the ice, you know, it hasn't been, you know, it's been 20 years since I've been on the ice, over 20 years, but I can tell you nothing's changed in terms of what the official thinks of certain players and whether or not they'll get the benefit of the doubt on the call. A trip isn't a trip. According to the rule book, it is. But when you factor so many things that go around it, including who's the guy falling down and what's his reputation, and I told him to stop flopping around because I won't give you the call because you're trying to embarrass me. Those are the things that go on the ice that the average fan will never hear about. And it should be factored in whether or not an official wants to make a call or not. You agree?
Well, you know what? I look, and don't kid yourself. There's certain coaches they don't like, and there's certain players they don't like, and there's certain general managers they don't like. They hated me.
And, why? And you know what? We understand.
And since I've gotten out of it, I've met numerous ones, and they're great guys. And we used to run into them when you and I and Darren were in the playoffs. When we're on the playoff trail, you'd run into the referee. I remember running into Rob Schick in L.A. when we were doing the L.A. Rangers series. And Rob and I had the greatest chat. Well, Rob Schick, it was ugly. But you know what? And I've said this to you guys before. Since I've left the game, when I was in management and coaching, I studied every damn shift and it was looking at what they were calling. And since I've gotten out of the game, I don't even know who's on the ice. I couldn't tell you who refereed any game because I don't even notice them out there. I don't pay any attention to them.
You still pound the water during a show, don't you?
Well, I'm trying to keep from getting the hoarse voice. And I it's something more about retirement. I want to be hydrated. It's good for my skin.
Well, Darren, you used to always drink water.
I have 100 cases of this garbage that Nick used to, you know, what is it? What was it called? You used
it was
to make
GP8.
Yeah,
I've now taken them to another level with the little Buddha, just 4% alcohol. That's what's loaded in his water bottle.
How many things are you selling right now, Kibby?
Oh gosh, this is the latest one. Is the organic little Buddha, soon to be coming to the U.S. We're just not sure when, but it's been actually pretty successful here in Ontario.
Okay, enough of that. And don't forget, I helped some real estate in PEI if anybody's interested.
And that's
it's not
booming.
A show with the three of us if Mac isn't selling a condo.
How's the car? How's the car business?
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah?
It's okay, yeah.
The Porsche is all right?
Well, here's the story on the Porsche. I'm driving out to get an oil change on the Lexus, okay? And I drive by West Palm Porsche dealer, and I thought to myself, what am I doing at my age driving a Lexus SUV? Come on, you only live once. So I wheeled into the Porsche dealer, and I picked it up the next day.
So you bought it on the spot?
Well, I've been in Friday, and I picked it up Saturday.
And I got to listen to that almost every other day.
It was in the showroom. And it was a little bright for me, but I thought, you know, I need a little sprucing up in my life, you know?
I didn't see you as a lava orange Porsche.
No, but we did see him having a midlife crisis. We saw.
That's what they all say. Oh, we got a guy. They call me the peacock here in the old folks home here. They call me the peacock.
So when people, for those that do not know, the few people that do not know, when can people catch you and where and everything, Kippy?
We are live streaming, Darren. It's Real Kipper at noon. So it's 12 Eastern on our YouTube channel. That's supported through linemovement.com.
And a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday to Friday, 7 days.
Wednesday, Friday. We kind of, okay. I like that when I was at Sportsnet. So, you know, it's enough to give people a break of Doug, just enough breathing room on a Tuesday and a Thursday.
So do you like hosting or is it?
I used to laugh at you all the time.
Oh,
I'm so happy to have you right now. Just steer the whole ship. I want to be like Doug and just put my feet up and think about buying a Porsche.
He's become the new Jeff Merrick. I can't shut him up. He knows everything and I can't shut him up.
You guys hated when the host would express an opinion. You guys hated it.
Well, I think it was part of the magic of the show. Now that I look back on it, it actually worked for us.
I'm not sure that that's a compliment or a mea culpa.
Do you remember the segment we did? I think it was at the Olympics when I'm like, that's the calmest.
Oh, yeah.
That's the calmest I've ever heard a hit that we did. And then I look and I see the end of my microphone and it's not plugged into any producer screaming at me. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, the part of your headset that you could hear. So the weird part is, I don't know how you could ever hear us, but it didn't matter because you just talked the whole time. And Bob McKenzie's looking at you like this.
Yes, like I had three heads, like you're never going to work again.
Mac, everything's good with you?
Everything's good. Yeah, I'm busy. I'm busy golf. I golf a couple times a week, you know, and I play a lot of pickleball, a little bit of tennis. You know, I mean, every time I get bored, I just go down to the beach, you know, and it's fine. You know, it seems to be good. I got to tell you, I'm quite comfortable. You miss it. You know, you miss the action. You know, it was so great getting fired every few years. It was so relaxing.
This is what I have to listen to for the full hour. We don't even get to the games on the Real Kipper at Noon show. We just hear, you know, from his vaccine to the Porsche to his golf scores to pickleball. Eventually, I think we'll get to the trade deadline at some point between now and I think April 12th.
Okay, what are you guys going to do on trade deadline day? The three of us, the secret society here of trade deadlines past when we'd be in there at 6 a.m.
Yes.
And going all day.
We're going to watch TSN and Sportsnet juggle and ride. I don't know. What did they have on their show once? TSN, a camel or something? A llama?
I don't know. I was always on the air.
Don't you remember that? So just sit back and relax.
What I used to love about it at the end when we were having a beer at the end of the day, Bobby T would say, "We beat them, boys. We beat them, boys." Okay,
that
Bobby
was
T.
The old days. Now I don't think they say that anymore.
I don't.
Oh, yes, they do.
Oh, yeah. Kippy, you're good?
All good, Darren.
Do you like it? Do you like being
hearing your voice? It's been fun. It's like dipping your toe again in it. Without, you know, a head first dive. So we get it in doses.
That's a Kippyism right there. Dipping your toe in it without head first dive.
You got a few more you can share or are we done on the Kippyisms?
No, that was a new one.
Now, I'm good for at least one or two with you. You know that. Hey,
you do like the being your own boss, being your own programmer of
well,
the show.
You got to babysit Mac. And he doesn't even he doesn't even pay me the standard minimum $15 an hour. That part sucks. But it's been fun. You're still around the game, mm-hmm. but you get to do other things like starting your own beverage business. And I wrote a book called Undrafted. Make sure everybody can find it, indigo.com and Chapters. It's called Undrafted by Simon & Schuster. So that was a fun project in the last year.
You're a pitch man now.
I am. I am. I've watched Doug McClain do it for years. Remember Burlington Mercedes?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That was a
good
deal.
How he used to pound us on that.
I don't blame him for that now. I'm in that same boat right now. Kippy, you're going to get some competition in the book market, though, because Max got one coming out at some point.
Yeah.
Well, is there any type of wager?
If they ever have another draft, I think we'll be able to finish it off.
They're supposed to bring the draft back. Don't worry, Mac.
They sent me a third of the money. I hope they forget about it and just go away.
Who wrote more of their book themselves between the two of you? Be honest here.
Oh, my God.
Well, I wrote it with Perry Lefko. He was great. But in all honesty, my wife graduated Emory with a journalism degree. And that book wasn't getting done until she cleaned it up. Right? She's like, you can't say that. You're just embarrassing yourself. You can't say that. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Right. Mac?
You know what? I worked damn hard. I had 9 chapters done and worked damn hard. And I sort of would write a chapter, you know, like 5 or 6,000 words. And, you know, I'm not a writer really, but I put it together. And then I would phone Scott Morrison, who is the writer. And we would talk each chapter through on the phone for a couple hours. And you know what? Scott and I had a ball doing it. We really did. But they put it on hold simply because the first chapter of the book, I shouldn't even say this, was supposed to be the historic draft at Montreal because of all the history around the drafts in Montreal. And then it was would go on from there. But you know what? I'll just give you one little story that I put in the book. I did not realize this. Ken Dryden was drafted in the 3rd round by the Boston Bruins.
Yes.
And did not know it till 10 years later. Because he was traded right after the draft to Montreal for 2 guys that were taken before him in the draft that never played in the NHL. And Ken Dryden found out 10 years after that draft, because it was a private draft. The players didn't know that he was actually, he found out 10 years after the draft that he was actually drafted by Boston. How bizarre is that?
That
so,
is
There's some great, but I mean, it's on hold right now. So
I bet you I could find 6 Columbus Blue Jackets in the first 8 years of that organization that could tell the same story.
I did a chapter on Jerdev. It was called The Russian Problem. And we did it. We went through the whole chapter. Scott says after he went back to rewrite, he said, I think we'll make that into 2 chapters.
And the original chapter name wasn't The Russian Problem.
I hope the detective you hired to follow him is in the book.
Oh yeah.
What was the name of the detective? Do you remember?
I forget.
Yes. Columbo.
You guys, welcome to come down to Vegas whenever you want. We're rolling. We got fans in the building. It's a lot of fun. The team's going great. So come and hang out.
And what's going on with the casinos? I like the casinos.
Yeah, they're good. Lip like 6 minutes away from one.
You got some connections.
Yeah.
We only have the same suite that they used in the movie The Hangover.
Kippy, the last time I was in Vegas, which was when I was on my RV trip.
Yes.
I ended up going to Vegas seeing Darren, and it ended up costing me $330. So I don't know when I'm going back.
That's true. He bought dinner. And we do appreciate
alligator
that.
Arms out.
Oh, full alligator.
Didn't
arms.
Reach
I went
the pocket.
To the bathroom 42 times just waiting for that check to clear. So linemovement.com, Real Kipper at noon on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern time. I got that straight, right?
You did.
Great hockey talk with, I'd love to, and I'll be on, if you want to check it out, I'll be on Real Kipper at noon because we're doing a sort of a simul a two-parter, but one
back to back
of us together. Great seeing you guys. And if you like the Chirp with Darren Millard with these guys, you'll love Real Kipper at Noon. Click subscribe by here, like on the YouTube channel and the podcast. We'll get back to a more traditional Chirp with Darren Millard next week. But gentlemen, good hanging out with you. Is that, hold up that glass of water. Is it done yet?
I emptied a bottle and a glass.
You're going to keep Jill up all night now.
All Jill
going
said
back
was,
and forth to the bathroom.
When I told Jill I was going on the air with Darren and you, she said, okay, that's great. Just close the door.
That's how thrilled she was.
Yeah. No, once again, proves Jill is the smartest one of us all. Thanks, guys. Be well.
Great talking to you again, Darren.